Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to call this public meeting of the Cherry Beach Down Council to order. It's 6:30, and I think we'll go ahead and, if you'll stand and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance and flag, we'll do that much anyway. Jim, lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The reason for this public meeting is to discuss the administration of the town of Cherry Beach, since we no longer are using a paid administrator. And Commissioner Dugan, this was one of your items. If you would like to start, we'll be happy to follow.
Thank you, Mayor. I got Tim's list. I talked to Casey after her talking to you about an official, and I got Tim's list earlier today when I came over to work on it, and pretty much Tim's list mirrored mine. The only difference was that if it's okay with the council, and duties of the personnel officer, and that will only come into effect if, in fact, we have a personnel officer that's separate from either the clerk or the finance person.
So you'd like to make a motion to add under number 6, duties of personnel officer?
It's already on here.
What one do you got?
The one, the same one you do, honey.
Role of number 3, there. See, role of personnel officer.
I thought you didn't add it.
Yeah, it's already on there.
Well, it was not a published agenda, so.
Okay. You don't have to add it, Jim.
Good.
Moving right along.
Then, according to the agenda here, then we could start off with town records. And obviously, this is going to be something that Andy's going to have to jump in on. Based on the discussions that have gone on in town hall the last couple of months, this, along with all of the items that we've got here, fortunately, I think most of them, it's simply a matter of getting us all together, talking about it, delineating different areas that are the responsibility of different people, and hopefully that'll take a lot of the rough spots out of the road that have been happening the last couple of weeks. According to the agenda here, we've got, first of all, we need to determine how the staff, or to what extent the staff has access to records.
You want to start with what the law says and then go from there?
That's a good place to end.
Under the North Carolina statutes, Mr. Attorney, who, as far as the staff of the City Hall, has access to the records. So let's get all this hammered out. Who in this building has access to the records pertaining to the staff?
Well, it's kind of a hard question because the clerk's duties, as we set it out, she's in charge of all the documents and everything that has been put in her charge. So whatever records she has, that's what we have to determine. What records does she have that town needs access to, and how can we best facilitate producing those for council or for staff members?
What records would you say that we were talking about? I mean, there's a lot of paper in this building. What type of records is that we have to have a concern
about? Well, I mean, I think we ought to talk about the specific things that we've been having questions about. Aaron needing access to personnel records to update them for insurance purposes and things like that. That's one of the questions that come up. And then Mandy having access to the financial records with a key or whatever, so that if Jennifer and Casey are not here, they can continue to work. To me, it's a practical matter of how do they continue to do. And I don't know, I haven't heard any that Pat has any issues with it. But if you know, do these two continue to work when either Casey or Jennifer is not here?
Well, let me ask, because I was talking to, I forget who on the staff it was, and it's something that I had a couple of problems with, not here, but in my past life. Do we have separate records? What I'm talking about is if the reporter would come in and ask for records of an individual in town, are those separate from the full record of the stuff that the press or the public is not allowed to? Because to me, if we had...
Give us an instance. You just talk with A and you say if they a person.
Well, a...
Give us a scenario.
Okay, if she would come to the town and call and ask for personnel records of a police officer, there are certain things that she would be entitled to by law, and there are other things that she would not be entitled to by law. And my question was, is all of that information together in the same file so that it needs to be separated each time there's an information request? It would seem to be that would it simplify things if there was a complete record, but file A and file B.
Which just makes perfect sense to me.
Well,
that's just more, you know, that's just a bookkeeping, housekeeping.
Who is going to be the personnel officer?
Right now it's Chuck.
And Chuck.
It's Chuck.
We voted on Chuck as the personnel officer. So,
yeah, he missed that meeting.
Yeah. Right now
so
it's, Chuck.
It's Chuck. And there are statutory requirements.
Yes, there are.
For a personnel officer.
It's 168-162. Through 169.
Try those numbers down. Did you? Okay. And is that how long would it take you to skim that?
Well, let me give it to you in a nutshell. So you all appoint a personnel officer.
Okay, let me pull. Let me get down to what statutes we're starting at.
168.
Okay.
162. It's 168.168-169.
168.
168 is an alpha. Okay.
And then it's section 162 through 169.
And all this varies online.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I've been there. Got to know how to get it.
All right, Andy,
and he's in charge of, responsible for administering the pay plan, any position classifications, the general policies and directions adopted by council, health insurance, retirement benefits, he's in charge, of course, of the personnel records, and that is set out as to what is available for a person requesting a personnel file of an individual, but certain things that they're not entitled to is like investigations that you've had, their medical, that all that's laid out in the general statutes here that they're not entitled to, but as to the name, age,
so what Jim asked,
position,
what
pay.
No, it's not.
promotion, demotion.
Well, there's the survey and files. Here's the problem we have with that. That's the first thing I thought I would discuss today. One thing that says in there, at least in some I read, that you can't have anything leave there with a Social Security on. Everything Aaron works on, most of the things has Social Security on. So we can't divide that up and do it for her and keep the other records in the permanent situation, because they're just as, they need to be in the permanent records because of the Social Security on. So I don't know how we can divide up a working file for her that can be out under all these restrictions. That would be the perfect idea if we could divide it up, but it looks like it's difficult to do.
I mean, it seems to me that the idea of dividing the records up and keeping two sets of records for the occasion when somebody may come in, you know, how often does somebody come in from the newspaper or anywhere else and ask for the admissible part of the personnel record? And so we'd be creating this dual system that would be a problem for us every day of the week for something that only happens
once a year.
If it does,
let me ask this, okay? If that request, like Tim was talking about, it comes in every so often, what would be the harm of somebody going through the records before they're dispersed to him to make sure that none of it would be of a sensitive nature?
Well, that's what the personnel officer would do. My suggestion would be if that occasion arises, that the personnel officer contacts the town attorney and do it in a timely fashion, turn over what's public record and what needn't, and ask for his guidance. That's what we're paying our good buddy for. I have a question on the records access to staff. Under the clerk's duty, since she is the keeper of the records, is there any clear definition? She's also in charge, if I understand it, of all John, speak up, the plot plans, the mylars of the recorded deeds and records of the town. Now, if John is looking up the plot plan, if he needs to go into the vault and pick one of those up, then Casey is supposed to stay there with him while he takes it back to his office and does whatever it is.
That, are those things in the vault?
Yeah. They're in there. I mean, they may be in the wrong location. They're in there because that's the only part of the town hall that's fireproof. So, from my understanding, when you built the building, that's the only part of town hall that's fireproof. And the recorded mylars, I think, need to be where they're in a fireproof place. But, I mean, do they need to be put in a separate roll-out...
That's exactly what I would do.
All right, John?
The mylar
chart box.
Well, if I may, those maps, if they're the mylars, they're up on top of the file cabinets. They're accessible all day long. They're not in mylar file cabinets.
Is that where they're
at? The deeds are. But, well, I mean, all that takes is simply
unlocking it. He may need occasion to look at the deeds, but that's not how often that...
I haven't been in there in 3 or 4 months to check them. I don't know if she's changed the ground regularly or not. But anything you need to get in there for, the zoning, not really just for things, but the new subdivisions are the main things that I have to get in there and look at. As far as the mylars and the recorded plots for buildings and things like that, I have a lot of those in my office and my filing cabinets, which my back... storage area of the fire group also.
Yeah, that was the evidence room.
But also, every one of those recorded on the county's website. I can pull any one of those up anytime I need it.
Okay, so all you need to do is take what's in there and move it back into your vault.
Well, what she has should be there. I won't believe them now. I don't know. They're in a good location, and all she really has is the subdivisions that have been done in the last, 40 years, things
like that. So as long as we have a key to open the vault, you're fine.
Yes,
sir. Okay.
Do we not also have the ability to delegate some of her responsibilities to others?
I'm not sure if that's not already the case. We have this document, which I don't know where this came from, but you included it as part of your memo.
It's actually explained in there. That's one of the items listed. And that actually came from the North Carolina Association of Municipal Clerks. And that was their chapter 16, which actually includes a records management policy.
But in here it says, on page 16-9, part 6, responsibility for the record, the law provides in 168-171 that the town clerk is the custodian of all town records, and in NCGS 132-2 that the public official in charge of an office having public records shall be the custodian thereof. One purpose of this policy is to establish a mechanism whereby the employees and officials who create and receive records understand that they are primarily responsible for assuring that the records they create and receive are properly managed, retained, and disclosed. To that end, the following responsibilities are established. And it says, officials and employees are the primary record custodians of all records they create or receive. So, I mean, I think that if we have, if somebody's creating an employee payroll record, that person is responsible for the creation and custody of that record. Now, I think under that, with that in mind, the clerk overall has a responsibility for making sure that everybody that we have
complies with
this. Yeah, and that we know where the records are and that they're kept properly. But I think, you know, each department director is the official custodian of all records created or received in his, which is what we do, because Sonny keeps his records, Dennis keeps his records, you know. So every primary record custodian is responsible for managing, retaining, and disclosing the records in accordance with the law. So, I mean, I think, I thought all along that I never thought that the intent of the public records law, making the clerk the custodian, was to keep everybody else in the building from doing their job. You know, that there is a mechanism in place, at least the way I read this, where the folks who need to use the records can have access to the records. Again, they are responsible for making sure that the law is followed, and if the clerk sees problems, then we, you know, have to address that with the policy in town hall. So, but I don't know if I'm reading this wrong, but it looks pretty obvious.
Any discussion?
So I just want to get clear, just so I can put it in here. What does that mean in reference to the records that are on file in my file cabinet in the vault?
That the department head,
the pertinent department head,
yeah, have access to them.
So I could unlock all of the file cabinet, and Jennifer should I should be able to go into all of her file cabinets.
Is
and if
Jennifer's,
I want something from Sonny, I should be able to go to Sonny's office and go to his file cabinet.
Is that in
your
department?
That's the same thing y'all are saying, y'all are asking of me. So I can go into Jennifer's office at any time and pull any record out of her file cabinet and take it to my office.
If there's a prudent reason.
But see, that's the thing.
I would think it better be a prudent reason if you go in there.
Well, if I need a record and Jennifer's tied up in a meeting, so I can just go in there and grab it. Or the same thing with Sonny or any of the guys over in the police department. It's just, it's one of those things where there's really no reason as to why it should, it's not to prevent access, it's just the simple fact of if these records go missing, because I actually have a spreadsheet where I know where exactly every document is in those file cabinets. So with that being said, if somebody takes them and then puts them back, and let's say they're put back in the wrong place, you're talking about me having to go through every one of those files to find that particular file. Whereas if I'm asked for that file, I can put it back where it needs to go, and I know exactly where it is.
And something that has happened in the past with us elected officials is there's been...
Well, that's not... I mean, the elected officials... They're, to me, there's three categories in here.
Yeah.
There's the staff and the people who create and use the records every day. There's the elected officials, and then there's the public. And I think there's been a problem in the past where, you know, we've said public access to the records, you know, you can come, you have to fill out a form, you can have to wait so many days to get them, and then, you know, if you want, you know, that's the public.
Well, I think, is everybody in agreement that the public portion of it seems to be fairly cut and dried and has worked in the past, and will continue to, as long as the... That you come and you ask for certain records, fill out the proper paperwork.
But you can't make them by law fill out paperwork. You cannot make them fill out paperwork, and you cannot make them state the reason that they want it. You have to provide it to them in a reasonable amount of time. They can call you and say, I want this record, and they don't have to do it.
It seems funny to me that we can't make the public do that, but we're asking the town staff to do that. Fill out paperwork and all. So, I mean, I'm just trying, I understand your point of view. You're concerned that if somebody can just go into your filing cabinets and mess around with them, it'll muck up your system. Mm-hmm. But let's turn it around. And let's say that you're on jury duty and somebody needs to get to a file. Mm-hmm. Do they just go home until you get off of jury duty, or how do we handle that?
If you go back to your previous job description, the finance officer would get those records in the absence of the town clerk.
Okay.
You're allowed to speak. Yes.
Okay. In that instance, we've had two incidents in 1 week where I think you were on maternity leave or doctor's appointment or whatever for that day, and you were either in some kind of training or jury duty or whatnot, and that's where the whole issue of me having a master key came up, because there were two incidences, or three. There was one I needed to get in here on Saturday to the typewriter, and then two where counsel asked me for files that I couldn't get to. And I think that's what they're talking about, because you're not here 24/7.
You're right. But did you need to get into my files?
There was something, yes, there was something. It was the waste management or something. What was it we needed to get into?
It was the waste management contract.
Waste management contract.
Those were actually in Chuck's office. I told you that earlier today. Remember? Those were actually in Chuck's office. Those are some of the files that Michelle said were working files. They were located in Chuck's office, and actually there is no current contract for waste management on file in town hall. I called Waste Management.
Well, then don't send them another check, okay?
But in regards to, well, see, this is an issue that I had asked you guys, because this is an issue that finance needs direction on. And if I'm to be the custodian of the keys, which if y'all want to delegate that duty elsewhere, but the simple fact of it is, I asked for direction from you guys, because this is something that had not been done in the past. And in Jennifer's absence, there was a master key given out, but it was supposed to have been a temporary thing. Now, if this is something y'all want, that's fine with me. The simple fact of it is, though, is she needed to gain access to a typewriter in Pat's office, and waste management contracts that on a Saturday, I don't know, or whenever, they were in Chuck's office. So you guys need to give direction to whomever is going to be the key custodian as to who to give a master key to. That's really what that issue comes down to. Now, as far as records to my access to the records that under my supervision, I think it should apply to everybody. It should apply to being able to go into everybody.
Who did I ask for that contract? Was it you? Yeah, okay. Did either one of y'all know that there was a copy of it in Sheriff's office?
No, it was the original.
We told you that we couldn't get to it. Or I told you I couldn't get to it because it was the case of office, and you asked me for something. I don't remember what you asked me for, but I mean, that's the example.
Oh, yeah, that was my, you know, my answer to that was the town didn't stop because we don't have a key.
And that was where the key issue came in.
Right. Speak up there, young lady.
The other incident was when Chuck wanted to use the green file, we were there also, so to turn around and then.
So the simple solution on that, I guess, would
be. Well, the green files are always available during the finance cabinet, and they're never lost. I've never lost the cabinet because I trust any of the finance team to go directly in there and put exactly that where it is. So,
well,
there's no problem with finance
files whatsoever. To me, as far as the key, if the holder of the key knows they're going to be off, it's handed down to the next responsible person.
But you're not all going
to
know.
Well, that's fine unless somebody calls in sick.
Or gets called for jury duty the night before.
Yeah.
Well, I could give Jennifer a copy of my keys. It's fine. Or we can just unlock them and whoever.
I mean,
whatever council chooses to do.
Are we going to go by the old rules that the finance officer has them, or would y'all like to delegate duties to a deputy clerk?
Well,
anyway. Don't cry.
We're going to do it now. You're putting your tears.
Thanks for making this issue. It took a while.
Well, I mean, it's been festering since...
Languishing long enough.
Well, I don't know, since at least December 16th. So it's something that we need to get resolved. And
so we have two master keys, one, or at least two. Do you have a master key?
No, sir.
We actually have three. We know there were three, because at one time, Mandy had one.
And maybe Michelle still has hers. I don't know. But I don't have a master key.
Yeah, Michelle turned in her key. Mm-hmm.
We're thinking about taking all of your keys anyway.
And then a super has a key, and a key department.
Yeah, we have a key. Access to all of them.
Well, the police department has a key, locked up, and then Cooper has a key.
How many people knew that the police department had a key? I never knew they had a key.
I found out afterwards, too.
I certainly was never informed,
well,
as the mayor, that there was a master key available if we needed it at the police department.
On the other hand, did you ask?
Never knew what was the backup procedure
for getting in if you couldn't get in touch with anybody on a weekend?
An axe.
I mean, one thing, I hear your concern about, you keep using the records under your supervision. Mm-hmm. Which are those records specifically?
There are actually three records in that. There are three file cabinets in that vault that are permanent records of the town. And one of them just houses the minutes. It has minutes going back to 1947.
Yeah.
However, there are two other file cabinets, and they contain contracts, deeds, ordinances, resolutions, that type of thing, which must be maintained on a permanent basis. Now, non-permanent records are kept in a file cabinet located in my office. And those have a retention value, but they're not a permanent record.
Well, my solution to that would be...
Wait a minute.
What, can you do something sharp?
No, I'm just asking you to hold out and let her finish, because I'm trying to...
But they do have a retention value, and they are covered under the records retention schedule to be in my office.
Do we have any backup on any of those?
The majority of the ordinances and things like that and the minutes are all saved or scanned in and on the server. So in the event that something happened catastrophic, they would be back up on the server. It is a fireproof
stage. Yeah.
But now we have a new server. We haven't had any problems since we have this new website host.
So you have the minutes in a filing cabinet, and that's in the vault?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the deeds, the contracts, the permanent records?
I'm just naming off this many of probably eight pages worth of records.
And then the personnel records?
No, the personnel records are in that small file cabinet you guys moved in there.
Okay. we've gone over this so many times, and it's kind of confusing, and I'm trying to make sure that we narrow this down to where it's manageable, that we can come to some conclusion on it. I mean, and those are the things that you feel like you should have the only key to?
I'm not saying I should have the only key. I just don't think that it should be where anybody and everyone can go in there, with the exception of the public. It's just one of those things, like I said, I have a system, I have a file system, and just by chance, if somebody were to take something, let's say it's a topic currently being discussed, we'll use Oceanfront Park, somebody goes and grabs that file, and then accidentally, because those two file cabinets right there beside each other, open up the wrong one, stuck it in there, there's nothing saying that I'm going to know exactly where they stuck that.
Right.
It's one of those systems where it's kind of like a library book. They ask you not to put it back.
They ask you not to put it back because you haven't been trained in where to put, you know, the average person going in there doesn't know the Dewey Decimal System.
Right.
So, or the well, to me, the better solution would be if we have a system, your system, that we train everybody in that system.
It's up to council. That's what y'all want to do. But then that kind of, according to the statute, y'all need to put that in a policy. That way it no longer makes me responsible if those files go missing.
How can we do that if it's a statute that you are the custodian of the records?
But everybody that touched or received
the document. No, that is a policy for the town of Cary.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what it was.
That is not statute. That is public records law right there.
That's a small treat.
Is that statute?
That is their interpretation.
Who?
The School of Government and David Lawrence. He's probably the most knowledgeable person in North Carolina on the general statute.
You never
for,
that. Now, according to this, you can't see what we're talking about.
Right.
Basically says you have to set
an
employee in order to get to those questions.
Where are you reading, Chuck?
Page 39. Is it safe to say that the vast majority of personnel records?
No, Chuck, I'm sorry, I misunderstood what you said. It said you, we can't do what we were just talking about.
See that paragraph?
Yes,
it says that they must protect it at the same time while they're being inspected or copied. Has no obligation to let outsiders into the system, and the local government may limit access to locations, their own employees, and all. The custodian should also oversee the inspection of the records to ensure that no records are lost, damaged, or modified. This responsibility may necessitate the county employee to sit with someone working with the public record to assure the safety of the records. Finally, the custodian should not permit records to be taken from the public premise unless under the supervision of the public employee.
A public employee, which means it could be Mandy or Aaron or Pat or John. It doesn't have to be the one only public employee.
But I think that this mainly refers to...
I've got a question about that same paragraph, but it says, therefore, the custodian is under no obligation, big no, right there, to let outsiders into the file system. That's fairly definitive.
Well, outsiders are not employees.
And that, nobody's suggesting that anybody other than town staff.
Yeah. I don't know. What are they saying there about outsiders? What does that represent?
Yeah, I interpret that to be a meeting.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, other than the custodian, I mean, it says right there, it's under the custodian, it's under no obligation.
If a committee member wanted to come in and go through, that they would not be able to do, or just a townsperson.
And it says unless, you know, a public one of the employees is with them. Now, and I don't remember Jim how much.
No, I don't. I think it's even more stringent than that. The employee will get the information that's required,
right,
and see that the person gets their copy of it, but won't stand there while they go through the file.
Right underneath there says a local government may limit access to storage locations to its own employees.
Right. That's what we're talking about.
Let me ask you this. Can we legally take the responsibility of the custodian of records by statute away from her so that she's not responsible if somebody leaves something on my desk and I mix it up? Can we do that legally?
Yeah, we could fire her.
And then she would no longer have the responsibility.
The next person will be in the same thing. The next town clerk is going to be in the same thing. So I'm asking if we can legally take the responsibility from her, because right now it looks like everything that I've been looking at an awful lot, and what it always says is that even if she gives me the record, I go over here out of her sight in my office and go back, she is still a custodian and responsible for it. And I can't buy that. I mean, I'm losing in 2 minutes and I'm on my desk, right? We need to keep, but if you can take that responsibility from her and put it in policy where she's not responsible for what I've had it, yeah, then everybody's
okay.
Happy.
Well, I think that's covered kind of in this second part of the same paragraph, I mean, same sentence. It said a local government may limit access, so that gives it, it's very, I mean, they can say yes or no to whoever they want, okay? And that would, if they're taking it temporarily, the custodianship from a particular custodian of a particular record, like it says, but the custodian up above says that they're not under an obligation. Okay? But it also says that you underneath there, a local government, may limit that access here.
Chuck, let me ask you this. I mean, I don't think there's any system, any reasonable system that we can devise that, I mean, there's a possibility that Casey may misfile a record and it go missing.
And she's responsible.
Right, but let's talk about what does it mean for her to be responsible if a record is lost?
Get the fine, I don't know.
I mean, I mean, it means that, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, that we take her outside and shoot her.
Can't we take away her records?
I mean, it means that the clerk has a responsibility for making sure that we have a system in place to protect the records. I'm having a hard time with the idea that responsibility means that she has to be physically present when any member of the town staff accesses the records. It just strikes me as being a very, we couldn't get anything done.
I would like to be able to get in all the records, so I'm on her side. But at the same time, I legally think we have to argue, can you do that? That's all I'm asking.
Everything that, if you read the policy from Carrie, if you read what this says right here, it says in this book, which, you know, it's by, like...
Save more.
It says... the custodian should oversee, but the government may limit access to record storage locations to its own employees, plural. So I don't see why we couldn't say that the town clerk is the custodian and has overall responsibility. We set up a system for managing the records. We designate which employees have access to the records for which purposes. And then we make sure that system is followed. And we train the employees on, you know, how the records are stored, where they're stored, and when, and, you know, under what circumstances they can be removed.
We can have her as, by law, the primary records keeper. Have a fallback position that we have as a secondary if she's unavailable or she's tied up doing something and delegates it. And then have a third under her supervision, that we go three deep and we're darn near out of employees by then anyway. And that way there are three people that have access, and you always start at the top. If that person isn't there, you go to number two. If that person isn't there, you go to number three.
And if the particular records are separated, you know, under state power, but if they're in separate sections where Aaron needs to get access to certain ones, Mandy needs to get access to certain ones, then, you know.
And we've already, in a sense, we already have that because, you know, there are lots of town records that aren't in this building that Dennis is the custodian of and Sonny is the custodian of. And I think, you know, if you read the statute that says the town clerk is the custodian of all town records, well, then, you know, she's not got custody of those. So what I'm saying is that we treat the financial records and the records that these folks need to do their jobs the same way we treat the police records and the public works records. You know, we've got to make sure there's a policy and that there's a reasonable way for people to do their job. Okay. Now, I'm perfectly willing to say that when you or I or Jim or Barry or Dean need something, that we have a stricter record because I'm like you. I'm subject to, you know, putting it in my briefcase and walking off with it and not even thinking about it. Or
in
that's instance, where we would be glad any of us that have access to make your copy go put it right back where Casey keeps it. Or,
well, the simple fact of it is never, ever has this been an issue until I was out and you were out. And then when I was in, oh, when was it? I guess when I was in jury duty, perhaps. Well, but truth be told, to have to go through those file cabinets that are in that closet, I may go through those file cabinets twice a month. So if that gives you any kind of indication as to how often I have to actually go through those records and find something, it's not very often. So, I mean, in the instance that it just so happened that there was a major records request from Jennifer or from, and both of us weren't here, it's just not going to happen that often because truth be told, I don't ever go into those. Now, I go into the working file cabinet that are non-permanent records more often in my office. But it's not very often that I have to go into those anyway.
This is a little somewhat off the what we're talking about. Well, I don't know. It may be related. How big of a chore would it be to make these records? How many records are we talking about in total? To make them into PDFs and have an electronic storage of them, which would be a great backup in case this place burned down.
Well, that's actually something Chuck and I have actually discussed, because the majority of the files that are in there are in a PDF format. The ones that are deemed necessary to have access to. Now, there are some of them where it's just not been done, but like I said to Chuck, ideally I would like to have them all on there, and that's a project that I'm going to have to undertake, but right now with
well, what's going on... Well, it's not something that could happen overnight by any stretch of
the imagination. No, it's definitely something that...
Nancy was working on part of that, putting on PDF and she was here.
She did, and some of the minutes, the way that they're put on there, they are entire years that were scanned in all in one file. I would eventually like to go back and undo that and redo it to where it's
perfect.
It's one of those things where it's going to be
it's summary good PDF.
Put this to rest and move on to another problem I can't solve. Is it acceptable, the 3D rotation? Is it on the type of personnel?
Fall in the same category?
Well, the first thing is if we can come up with a system that's acceptable to us as far as who you go to and in what order to get access to something.
Yeah.
So that there's the odds of always having at least somebody who can gain access is going to be...
That's the thing, yeah. I mean, that's just exactly where I want to go.
In that case, are you going to name a third person or what's going to happen there?
We have to. Well, it makes no sense to have a third person. If you guess... to guess who they are. Mm-hmm. Or we could...
And another nice thing, too, that we discovered is that there is another key in Dennis's police officer.
But that's a master key. That's not...
It doesn't get you into filing
cabinet. Okay, so it just gets you in the door.
Mm-hmm. There are keys to the filing cabinet in that box in the vault.
Yes, ma'am. And Dennis has
all you would really need to do then is designate a person that would be responsible for the key box. Mm-hmm.
Which Dennis, the police department, have a key to that key box.
Which is of no importance whatsoever to what we're talking about, because finding a policeman over there when you need it, you know, particularly the way they're going, they're doing a lockdown or something. unless you're going to dial 911 and have an officer come back over here to get the key, that's not very practical. So I'm the only one. Yeah, that's out.
Well, I mean, that's not.
Well, why don't we? If you're going to go with the 3D, Casey would have the keys. I would have the backup keys. I would always keep them in a certain area locked. And then Mandy is my backup, so she would be the third person. And they would always be in that room locked. Now, say all three of us were out because her thing is.
We should just close
the door. Then Aaron would know how to get into that.
Well, Casey will be here in the event of her thing because of her job duties. She has to be here with EMC or somebody.
What's your...
Just so long as you know that you
need
it.
Everything's
fine. That's
perfect. Now, you guys need to address the issue that I had sent you the memo about as far as Mandy getting a key, because there was precedent, and although it's precedent, there's no policy. So if we're going to have this key issue, there really needs to be a policy. And truthfully, when I first got handed this, I thought there needed to be a policy anyways, because we have committee members out the wazoo that have keys to town hall. And do I think that they all need to have keys to town hall? No. But it was done before I came on.
And that's not really your responsibility.
It's not my responsibility to say who can and can't, but you guys think of the policy and I can enforce it.
Well, the policy that existed was that we did adopt the policy, and I don't know that it's been changed, but the committee people were to have keys so that they could get in and have their meetings without having to call somebody. Now, those keys should only give them access to that door and this hallway.
The majority of committees, they've actually meet during the day now.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know if I can find one. I called him first because he's been on council long enough. Not that you know the policy. No, I don't.
Well,
so if there is one, I could definitely do a little bit more digging, but I could not find a policy on Keith.
What we did when we rekeyed the building, mm-hmm. because we didn't know who had keys.
When was it?
This was in.
This was way better.
Yeah,
this was spring 2005, 7?
06 or 07.
06.
06 or Frank.
Early 06. And we rekeyed the building because we had lost track of who had keys. We issued a key to the front door and this door to all the committee chairs and all the council members. And they all signed out for them. And then we rekeyed it so that these offices, the individual offices, were under different keys.
You may need to tighten up on your committee stuff to see that's the key and send out a request to them that, you know.
But if we agreed to give it to all committee chairs, and we agreed, this still doesn't, unless there is a physical policy that says this person, this person, this person, not including, I mean, if you said committee chairs, yes. But, you know, I'm all for me having a key. I'm the one that issued it to her temporarily. But the problem is there's no policy. There was just a precedent. And so let's say I had issued it and you guys came back and you were upset. Didn't want to act without having...
We can draft a policy. That shouldn't take more than 10 minutes.
Sounds good.
So,
Andy, can you do that while you're sitting there?
No.
Of course. You can do that while you're
sitting there. Why don't you get the first thing finished first about access to the CUDA for records?
Right. The three.
Right.
Right.
All right.
The
3D. Right. The 3D. Well, I think we just said it, right?
I'll make a motion then that the access to records starts with town clerk, secondly, the finance officer, and third is a person in finance picked by the finance officer.
I second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay.
So that means that these three folks will have a master key and will have access to the key box so that they can get the keys that are in the key box.
Well, to me, it means that her total access should be available to
that's what I understand.
Well, I'm just trying to, what does that mean? Because that...
Two keys. One, two. Mm-hmm. And then if she's going to be up, she's going to give her key or let her know where her key is. You only can have two keys.
Yeah, they're talking about the key box. And there's a master key.
Well, if she gives her key, she's going
to have two keys. Personally, I don't care whether male's got it or man has it.
Well, that's what I'm trying to make sure that we understand what this actually means.
Well, then let's... Do you feel comfortable being able to access a location in here where the master key is? As opposed to having it on your key ring.
But doesn't that then give everybody in the office access to the master key to go anywhere?
I think Mandy needs a master key.
Fine.
But we're talking about keep the file cabinet, I'm thinking. And that will go back to what Jennifer just said. Jennifer, it would probably be locked up in the vault somewhere. And then in the event that Jennifer was out, Mandy would know where the location of those keys to the file cabinet are.
So I thought they were in a box right on the top cabinet.
But you just shot that nail.
to the file cabinets that are in the vault.
Some in there, not keyed, some at all.
I've never been in there.
Financial, but not keyed.
And you have a key.
I've not been in there, so.
Jim?
So are we clear?
We're clear.
We have a 3D.
Yeah.
We have two keys. We're giving her a key. We have three keys, and we have a location for the file keys.
That was my question. Are the file cabinet keys in the key box, or is the key box just door keys?
There are file cabinet keys in the key box,
including the personnel keys.
No. There are two copies of personnel key. Chuck has one and I have the other.
Then we need so you need a third key put in there, or you need a...
Well, that's something that Chuck, I mean, that's one of the duties that the vice chief needs to write off.
There have been several occasions where this has been, or she's been out and he hasn't been here enough. And, I mean, I don't know what he's doing all day. I'm not going to call him up to come up here to let me put one piece of paper in the file.
So you would like, you think the prudent thing to do would be provide a third key and have it in the box, in the vault? Okay, that's a simple fix to me.
I already know what the objection to that is. Anybody who's got access to the box then has access to the personnel records, and we want a higher standard for the personnel records.
Now, do you access the personnel records most, or do you access the payroll records most?
Payroll, but they're all together.
That's something that I think Jennifer wanted to address.
Yeah.
Well, then we go back
to... But that's not been addressed yet. Regardless, I mean...
That's what I suggested.
I have to have access to both of them. At any given time, somebody could get a raise over the public works department. I have to fill out a fact sheet of their raise and everything like that in their personnel file. That same day, somebody might want to change their tax withholding. That means they have to access their payroll file. So, I mean, it just depends on what comes up. And I never know what's going to come up. And
well, based on public works, I guarantee nobody there will get a raise.
I can't believe you were ever a union negotiator.
All right, where are we at? Well, how do we address Aaron's problem?
I would like to look into separating the files. What she can maintain and keep in her office, what she has daily use of, and then what needs to keep locked up. Because she's not going to need that much stuff. She can lock it.
Well, but she just said that there are times when she needs access to the personnel file itself and sometimes to the payroll file.
The payroll file can be in her office, unlocked.
The personnel
file? Yeah.
The
personnel file can, but not
the payroll. No, the personnel file.
Sorry, we heard it.
So, I mean...
There is a part of the file that's open to the public. We keep talking about. And then there's a personnel file, and there's three actual files. So one of them can be separated, it can be anywhere because depends on how long you get there.
I don't.
But
well,
the other two, they're both of them are the same. You cannot have them outside at all. Lock and keep.
Okay.
You got it. I locked up in her office, but that social security number is on everything she does.
Is that our town policy or is that state policy? Or
when it comes to social security numbers, they're not off the chain.
I'm sorry.
When it comes to social security numbers, they're listed on Aaron's monthly report. Their retirement report, your prudential report,
their teacher.
Well, she does the monthly report. Are you saying that every time she completes the monthly report, she needs to put that in the vault?
Well, it's probably the same thing as
this. Is it saved on the server or is it saved on the H drive?
It's under Aaron's name.
Okay, that's fine.
It's not accessible by anyone else.
Right, and that's fine.
But I'm just discussing, if we're talking about social security numbers,
yeah.
Aaron does this every month.
There's actually a published report that has everybody's social security number on. Well, we need to take at least limit that to the last four numbers.
Yes.
On that report.
I mean, that's the software. I can't.
Well,
Sharpie it out every month.
What we ought to do is ask the software people if there isn't a way to obscure that field when you print it. I mean,
it's state retirement. It's the Orbit. It's the new system they have in place.
That the state has in place.
Yeah.
Well,
no, I
may be wrong, but I think there was just a new regulation that stated that you cannot publish the whole social security number even on a paycheck. Well, no, if we have it, the last four, even the banks call for the last four digits of your social security number.
What would be the objection to Aaron having access to the keys for the locked filing cabinet that has the personnel and payroll records?
Nothing I can think of.
They do need to be separated, though. If that's what y'all said, then, see, that's the thing, is I was given the key, and I think that there was a understanding on my part, and especially theirs, as to why that. Because you're the personnel officer.
Is everybody in this room allowed to get into the personnel records?
No. And anybody they designate, truthfully, they can designate by law somebody to do it. But
so he should take that personnel key from you and designate it to her or to Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am.
Y'all make this way too complicated. You know something?
Andy, is most of this outlined in that statute you have given us?
Yes.
Okay, as to what we can and can't do.
Yeah, it's mainly under 160A, 168, Section D.
I mean, it sets out the statutory requirements, but the actual regulations are in the document from the Department of Archives and their state administration. I mean, the statute sets out the minimum requirements, and then all the detailed procedures are in the state administrative procedures, which is a whole different thing and is 10 times as long. I mean, I come back to the question, why can't, if the personnel officer can designate people who have access to the personnel records, why can't Chuck designate Aaron to have access to the personnel records? We wouldn't have, nobody else would have it, except for Casey, Chuck, and Aaron. Aaron could do her job. We wouldn't have to open it up to anybody else. Nobody else would have, you know, if somebody from the press or the public wanted to see the allowed portion of the personnel record, they would still have to go through the people who have custody of those records.
Well, why do Casey need to have custody?
We started this conversation with Casey saying that she had custody of all the records. Casey may not need it, but if we're going to go three deep on this stuff, she would be the logical person. And all, and I think we do need to adopt a key policy, and I think we need to come up with a more coherent records policy. But in the interim, I'm going to suggest that we request the personnel officer.
Are you listening?
Yes, I'm listening.
To designate Aaron to have access to the personnel records for the purposes of her duties. Now, she just can't go in there on Saturday afternoons and read everybody's personnel records, but. His personnel records are at
State
the DMV, the FBI, the ABC.
What can we say?
So that's my motion.
Do I have a second? All in favor? Yeah. All in favor? Signal by saying aye. Opposed? All right. You're clutchy here now. She's pulling her hair out all the time. All right, we're moving on to item number two, town hall organizational chart.
Yes.
Yeah, we got one drawn out.
I hate to say this seems like a fairly
Luke, our color
there to be.
Unless I'm overlooking something, it seems like that we take the one that we now have, eliminate the administrator position, and just bump up finance, billings, and HR personnel.
Well, I think what we're missing is that the current job description that we have for town clerk that was adopted in 2006 doesn't cover all the things that is now doing, because of the, if you go back, and the same thing for Jennifer, if you go back to the town clerk description that was adopted in 2006, we set it up, and then if you look at the ones that we currently have, there's a big difference between the two.
Well, and that was part of what both of us had on our proposed agendas, is that by 2 o'clock this morning we'll have delineated the duties of all the people, and also figured out what if any of the duties the personnel officer has. Yeah, it is possible that if we have an elected official as personnel officer, that is under administration, I mean under finance, that may have a separate one by itself.
Simple to just cross off one box and shift these others up, because there were duties in that one box that need to be reassigned.
Right. Yeah.
And I would like to...
Excuse me. Before Michelle came, I used to do the rental of the community center. Michelle took it away from me and gave it to Casey. Why can't I take it back?
Well, that's what we're talking about. We need to figure out where all those things go. And the other thing that's not addressed in here is, who does Doug work for? Because...
Now, to me...
you're right. what she's telling you is, the very first meeting, Chuck asked them all that question, who do y'all work for? And... they all got it wrong.
In fact, his position comes under a new supervisor, then it would have to be. Then that means that if his position isn't finance, I'm assuming it would end up being clerk, so there would be a staff under clerk. So, which really means that we can't do this until we get the other stuff done.
Right. And I'm not even sure that we're, because I would, before we decide on this finally, I would like to see somebody go back and redraft. Redraft the job. Like, for example, right now, the customer service administrative support, which I think is the job that Doug is currently in. In this one that was adopted in 2006, it says he provides customer service and administrative assistance to the town clerk and building inspector. But I don't think that's, you know, the way it currently is. Before we finally decide all this, I'd like us to go back and redraft all of these, because, you know, us just sitting here and talking about where we're going to put this, you know, whether Pat's going to do the community center rentals or Casey is, that we need to have it all on paper.
Well, yeah, then the order that we should go in is take the duties that are loose now because of the position of administrator, give them where we feel they ought to go, and then write job descriptions based on that information.
That's why I asked that to be on here. I'd like to list those duties, and then we can see them, and then let's delegate them out, and then redraft it.
That's fine. And this ends up being the last item.
Yeah.
Based on the work that we did.
You want to do the artwork over there? Here, I got you a new Sharpie. She does have nice penmanship.
You want that key or not?
Well, I'm not sure. What are the duties that aren't being covered now?
There were a number of duties that
we don't cover and that are not being covered now by our current...
Well, there are.
Yeah, we don't know who's supposed to be in charge.
They are. All we're trying to do is
get it in the right spot.
Have you got a copy of the administrator's duties?
That's
what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And then let's put those down and then reference over. You got the last copy of the administrator's duties in your work, Casey, on file?
Yeah, I put them all in your boxes.
We should be jumping right out after, shouldn't
we? Jim Dugan, I think, has them in his.
Oh, sure.
Do you have that folder?
Oh, sure.
Otherwise, I can go on my office.
Yeah. Well, this is what Michelle has
probably
about it up. Do you want to start with that and make it easier? And she asked me about it on her job.
She delegated, but if you look at her job description, I mean, that was her duties and her job description. But okay, she delegated.
For
instance, like the census, you're now doing that because
the census would
go to you.
Well, the census,
okay. Yeah.
The census is every 10 years. Who the hell cares about that?
Well, it was going on at the time.
The customer service and marketing coordinator. So see, she put the coordinator. The administrator's primary duties and responsibilities. Doug, looks like Doug is put under town.
No, that's only on certain things. That's the website and the listserv.
Well, let her start writing them down and we'll start
with
just delegating them out.
Put Doug's name and then put list whatever you
want.
That figures.
There should be another.
We can make it easy, Doug.
We're changing from there.
What is it, customer service?
Well, do you want to listen?
That's the only thing that needs to be there.
Yeah, that's a 10-year deal. I have no idea why you're wasting time. All right, website. Are you going down the list?
Closing up fast.
I told you you got that.
Do you get those duties now you're covering?
No, not town administrator.
Have you got the copy? Go get me a copy of the town administrator's as quickly as you can, please.
I don't know
what
it's about.
Well, I didn't
say it.
All right, let's start with this. Primary duties and responsibility. All right.
supports the operation. You don't have to just, we're going to go down these. What the hell is this? This is what you're financing.
Okay. That's just what was my word.
All right, we have the administrator in her primary duties and responsibilities. No, we're going to, I'm going to flag number one. Supports the operations and functions of all departments to ensure a smooth and efficient municipal government operation.
Put a stroke through that one.
Yeah, I think.
Number two, consults with department heads, governing body members, legal staff, and state officials as required. Now that should be the clerk, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Have we got a majority of us not heads in here? Except by this.
So keep on.
All right, consult with department heads. This will be item number two.
Well, I don't know if we want to say oversee.
Consult with department heads.
Consult, not oversee.
Governing body members, legal staff, and state officials as required. We're just reading it. So just put number two and put Casey.
No, don't put a name to it.
Don't put C.
We have to discuss that because... For example, this morning at 9 o'clock, Jennifer was consulting with state officials as required. So that's not something that's limited to the town clerk.
Right. So just pull another one off.
I'll do three things.
Kathy's right. She's come up with a lot of good ideas. So on.
Well, she should. She's been around long enough. She's experienced. That's what I meant, Pat.
And we heard you all the way down the hall this morning when you called her an old woman.
She is an old woman, aren't she?
Only in numbers.
There you go.
Only in numbers.
She's like a boss.
I'm sorry, if I can get in anymore, kids.
I get well deserved.
Okay, we got number two again. And everybody speak out.
Why say good?
So not.
Just put number two, C, and N. Clerk and finance.
Okay.
Where's our new shopping?
Where's that?
Here. That probably is a dollar store. Here.
Find it.
All right, we're done. Consult with department heads, government body members, legal staff, and state officials as required. As per you. Okay, is everybody happy with clerk and finance? Yes. Those are the two departments and our two little bosses. And the billing, is that going to also be... You've got the other little boxes, finance, billing, and HR personnel. Does anybody else need to be added to this number two?
Well, billing would be finance under finance umbrella.
Number three, acts as an agent of the town board commissioners in developing, interpreting, and implementing public policy.
I think that's kind of been eliminated.
No, yes.
Is that not a clerk?
That's her carrying out
the council. She's the first button.
I can write a draft, but ultimately it's going to be Andy, so I guess I'm involved.
Yeah, I don't think that reread that again.
Act as an agent of the town board of commissioners in developing, interpreting, and implementing public policy.
No, we know that. We have nobody here dedicated to implement policy to the town.
Can I,
what we're trying to do is short duties. Yeah.
Good. Y'all, I've been on my feet since about 4 o'clock this morning, so if we could, what I'd like to suggest is instead of us sitting here and going through this, we have the thing that Michelle gave us. We have copies of the job descriptions that existed prior to the town administrator. We have copies of the current job. My suggestion would be that we designate some small number of this group, and I would even be willing to volunteer to participate, to take those documents and go through them and come up with a draft that we could circulate to everybody to review with a new job description that would include all of this stuff. And then we can, you know, all comment on it. And then, because I don't think we can make a decision of this magnitude tonight.
No. I need it outlined a little bit.
I nominate Jim and Jim. Do I have a second?
And I would like to...
I nominate Chuck. Yeah. I mean, he's personnel, right?
Well, that was just my suggestion. If it's out of bracket, second, stay it.
But I think we also ought to include Jennifer and Casey as part of this so that we can come up with something that represents a broader point of view. We'll consult with everybody, but it needs to, because like I said, there are things that like if we take the pre-town administrator job descriptions.
We can be free about that 3 o'clock.
You might have trouble having a four.
We'll wake you up for an hour.
But you see, I think if we take the pre-administrator positions, what the administrator left to us as her parting gift, what the current job descriptions are, and
let me rescind my suggestion or my motion to say who would like to serve on this committee.
Tim and Jim have the.
A big part of the town hall organizational chart will be defining town what under 4B, for example, or 4C. I mean, these things weren't necessarily in any kind of
order. Yeah. Okay. Right.
But I mean, I think we still can talk about item number 3, those A, B, C under there, and then A and B under 10. And I think what you count number 5, the role of the council as a whole and individual members. Sort of separate and apart from
Yes.
The duties of the staff.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to move on to item three and combine items two and four with your subcommittee.
So,
right. And personnel.
And job descriptions would be part of what we're going to do.
All right. And so we have under item number three, we have the dress code. Mr. Keener.
There has been a lot of discussion. First of all, we have to correct what we did last month in classes. Jim made two motions or two suggestions that didn't refer to the motions. And so they're on the new drafts.
I would never.
No, we didn't make it. What happened? We just discussed it. He had good ideas.
Yeah.
But I added to it after the draft, but it was not, then I realized it was not a motion. So we really have to go back and correct it. So along with correcting that, there's a meeting going on in town hall as to whether we should have Capri-style dress pants. And there's still some arguments about having some type of shorts in some.
These are two out of the law last time. It's called a healthy discussion.
I'd like to bring those up again, even though we voted last time 3-2 on it. I don't mind if we're going to have to go back and make corrections anyway.
But we can discuss it again. Yeah, I don't know tonight.
In order to bring their as the liaison, I'm bringing this to the council. And I didn't want to try to do it on an individual basis. I thought this was a good opportunity to bring it out and have you all at the same time. Right, we can vote on it and make changes. But for discussion, I'm bringing what they have required. They have requested to reconsider those two items.
Which two items?
Capri pants and shorts.
Are you going to go into girly magazines again?
Is John going to wear a Capri pants suit?
Well, he actually wears.
Amanda, let me repeat what I just said so you can get a verbatim.
So how would we go about it?
Would you like to make a suggestion we put this on the agenda for March 16th?
Or we put this presence, we do nothing else.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we ought to just say business casual, or not tie it down to
I don't know. I would support business casual. Just business.
Well, I don't know.
We've already adopted business casual.
That stiffens doesn't count.
It came under business casual. Is what we actually voted on.
Okay.
Just those two items with the.
So you want to reconsider immediately?
Reconsider because the beach towns all seem to have taken that into consideration.
And I did, as I mentioned in the meeting, I did poll the listserv. And as I mentioned in the meeting again, the majority of the beach towns said, number one, we do not have a policy, but we do allow that type of short, but it has to be like a dressy type of short. It can't be blue jean shorts. It can't be short shorts. They have to be a longer style short.
I can't remember the thing we voted on. Is it got no denim in there? Or what was?
Well, it would be a dress short or a dress style from Capri. It would not be a denim at all. But that was what the overwhelming majority of everybody. There were like two beach towns.
Well, I'm not sure why that's relevant to this discussion. I mean,
I was asked to do it by Chuck.
Okay. I mean, do we ask every other beach town to approve our budget? Do we ask every other beach town to approve our zoning?
Don't care less what the other beach towns do.
I mean, I think what we're trying to do is come up with a standard for community and what we, our expectations are. So. I'm sorry. I misunderstood. I thought you were somehow polling the public, you know.
Well, that's what the listserv is for. I mean, they have listservs to find
out. We had that for
that's what they're for, is to find out what the norms are, to ask questions. What is this? Do you know what this policy is? I'm just saying that I was asked to do it. I followed through.
We strive to be
town staff employees write something up on what we would like added. And give it to our personnel officer here to bring to the March 16th meeting, because you can't vote on it tonight anyway.
We probably could, but we don't want to.
Exactly.
Well, I will support it, I'll tell you that tonight. No shorts, no capri pants.
I think three.
Where about the kids?
Is there a reason?
It should be a bit more professional. The town was really looking good. I mean, everybody was snappy around now.
We weren't dressing appropriately, even in the attire we're wearing now.
I'm not going to name names.
What I like about it is the fact that they have agreed that the dress code is something we needed. They're in favor of it, and I'm in favor of giving these two things because they can look nice. Well, you can still make the same determination. If they're not crooked, you can send them home.
You've also got to consider it gets really, really hot here in the summer, and not all of them wear a dress if it's really
hot. Well, the only time y'all go outside is to either eat lunch or go smoke.
But that's not our time.
Even in South Hall.
I can't get any hotter here than y'all set the thermostat.
All right, well, I'm in favor of what Jennifer said. Is let them bevy better about and come up with something that they'll all buy into. I mean, you know, that's really the. How long have I been there?
You're going to get five or six women to buy into the same thing. Good luck.
He knows you better than Fred.
My only concern is y'all are making a very strong case for having appropriate and dressy or fairly dressy looking. How do we define that so that, you know, we've been shown an example of what we're being asked to approve, and how do we know? And I'm like Barry, I don't know what the hell pair of capri pants is. I couldn't tell you, you know, from a football uniform, you know.
Yes, there you go.
But how do we? I don't care. But I mean, I just want to know if we're going to allow these things, how do we define them so that there is still a standard?
Because they still have to do that with everything they're going to wear. Anybody walks in and anybody asks a question next to them, going to enforce it. But the point is, it can be enforced just the same as if they come in with something we don't like. Whoever's going to be enforcing it. So,
if the department can
make that choice.
I'd
So that doesn't change as far as appropriate dress is concerned. That's going to happen in regards to that.
We could give general support or information to the department head. If we're unhappy with the way the department head polices it, our problem is with the department head.
Well, there is no
department head.
I'm not a department
head. You are a department head. Well, again, the whole idea here is that when people come into town hall to do business, we want the town hall staff
to look professional.
And be respectful of the folks that, you know, the customers that we're serving. And
I did do some research on Poet with the town logo for all of us. And they come in a variety of colors. So we could do nice.
Do the polos be in the place of capri pants?
No,
the polo.
The polo shirt.
Sure. See?
Their collar.
The collar, like this makes it a polo. My wife takes me to go shop.
Everybody has five or four, but I did the research for five shirts, including the embroidery, and it came out to $108 per person. And that's a week's worth of shirts. You could wear them with nice khaki dress capris, nice dress Bermuda shorts, khaki pants, white pants, blue pants.
Yes. So is the idea that what Jennifer's suggesting that y'all are going to incorporate all of that into you want Chuck to bring
on the 15th of March.
Mm-hmm. Y'all will incorporate the
buying
y'all blouse.
I think that's going to work where we're getting started to get up to what they form.
Well, y'all are going to get on this budget cycle.
The reason why we looked into that is because it seems like it's very, very fine print, and I guess it would be easier for us if y'all said, here's your shirt, and then we wouldn't have to be worried about, oh my God, what if I get sent home?
The shirts have been, in a discussion as for pants.
I think the Budweiser came up in the paper today.
Yeah,
I'm messing with it.
What
Budweiser shirt? The Budweiser shirt.
Did somebody in town hall say that?
Somebody said Budweiser shirt is an example of what not to wear, but didn't say it's specifically been worn, if I remember correctly.
Well, and the Gazette is definitely, not what you did, the inclusion that we were wearing Budweiser
t-shirts. Well, I say move forward with the evening and say that we will light this up as staff employees and give it to Chuck to bring up to the March 16th so we can move on to the next thing.
I'm not done with this one, so that lies no.
But I think we should do it on March 16th, because you're not going to vote tonight. So why make further
discussion? What else do you want to discuss?
The dress code was about the pants. Is that what you want to discuss about? So it's evolved from there to buying blouses or polo shirts, right?
I think what they're suggesting is that it gets back to if you're having a standard that's agreeable to everybody, and if they all wear town shirts with logos on them and all, then you have a standard.
Well, polo shirts, they are not business attire.
It's interesting.
It's not.
You already voted for that, sorry. You already voted for that.
You think polo shirts are business attire?
They're business casual.
What we proved included business casual with polo shirts. It was in the policy.
Yeah.
You voted for it. We all did.
It's business casual.
That's
going to be
business
for me. I can't wait to bring this up to the next meeting, since it takes about 45 minutes every time it comes up. I'm looking forward to the next meeting.
And when we go to meetings and schools and things like that, I'm out of this town hall.
Can I call for the question?
These cities are wearing their nice khaki capri pants, and they have their hand colors. And they look very business.
Call for the question, Commissioner
David. I've got a question.
Number three,
managerial responsibilities of town hall.
Four. I thought we were going to do four together.
What did he just put question? Is that what we thought? The question, I thought we reverted back to what the original question was we were discussing.
No, it consists of move on.
I don't think it works that way, does it?
Yeah. When you call for a question, you're calling for a vote.
You're talking to a union rep.
No.
When you call for the question, you're calling for a vote.
No, it stops discussion.
And a vote is then able to be taken. Well, we stop.
All in favor of putting this off until council meeting, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Second. All opposed?
No.
Aye, second.
Wow.
Should we start the next hour? We'll be around an hour early.
Yes. Thank you.
I think we better.
Next item. What do you have?
I don't know. Don't we all have the same list?
Yeah. I said.
She handed out a bunch of copies at the beginning of the meeting.
He's looking at 4A. It's like 4A. Not 3. I think I'll take that.
What about, did you want to talk about the role of the personnel officer that was on? That
yes,
was the one you had it.
Role of personnel.
Yeah, I don't care where in there. Okay, that's the next one, personnel officer. The only thing that I had since I've been here, that is something that is totally new, a separate, because the personnel officer in the past has always been as part of the clerk's duties. If in fact we want to, well, if we already have, I think we need to. Unless you want, as part of the job description, that the personnel officer job description be in with the rest of them.
Didn't we have a description somewhere here?
It's required by statute, so we can start out with the basic statute requirements and then.
Well, I have a question actually. I'm looking back at your January 19th council retreat, and it was covered in there saying that when you look at descriptions between me and Casey, that you might appoint one of us to be the personnel officer.
We might. And we're still working. That's part of what this whole discussion is. We're still trying to sort it off.
So then what we'll end up with is along with clerk and finance officer and some of the other finance staff that we'll add personnel officer as far as proposed job descriptions. Is that with everybody's approval?
Just shaking your hand, Chuck.
Should be a staff.
You can write that
one. Yeah, we already have a whole lot here.
That's a decision.
That's up to the discretion of the board, isn't it?
Yep. Unless you can pay two of us. Okay, so we'll add that to the list of work we've got. Moves on to number 4, replacing the town administrator position, part A, which is the managerial responsibility in town hall.
But I think all of these are related to the job descriptions in number 2 that we're going to work on.
Yeah, I thought we said that we were going to work on 2 and 4 at the same time.
That's fine.
So after we have an idea of what all the duties are for each position, I think we can better assess what goes to who, where, when, and why.
Well, we can always vote to hire another town administrator. So.
Yeah. Or town manager, for that matter.
Yeah, I mean.
So is everybody okay with moving on to 5, the council item?
Mm-hmm.
Alright, we've got the role of council as a whole. As far as the duties of council interacting with staff?
Well, yeah, now it says as a whole. Does that include how we react with citizens and interact with citizens and etc., or is this totally about how we work with staff?
I would say,
Barry, keep in mind, this is just, I hate going to a meeting where there isn't some kind of an agenda, and we didn't ever adopt this. This is something I threw together so we have a format to talk about, and it's not meant to, you know, you
can not meant to nail it down. So let's say that we wanted to make this into a particular, separate it into
I mean, the way that we react with the town, with town citizens, is covered in the council handbook. There is a policy for how we're supposed
to. And also, we should be under the same guidelines and restrictions, not restrictions, but guidelines that we just, at the last council meeting, put the as far as dealing with
the citizens. Yeah, the community service, the customer service procedures that we adopted. I mean, we're sort
of. So, in essence, what you're telling me is that this is already taken care of.
No, because I still think
we want to make changes.
There's a discussion for, you know, what we as individual council members and what we as a council as a whole, how we work with the staff and the department heads. So, you know, just for example, and one thing that we need to talk about, maybe not tonight because this is sort of a different issue, but I think that your role as a liaison to the Board of Adjustment is different from any other committee. You really don't have we really don't need a liaison on the Board of Adjustment. They're a whole separate thing. And sitting in on the Board of Adjustment meetings is not like sitting in on the SLAC committee meeting, you know, because the Board of Adjustment, you have to be sworn. They have to base their decisions on findings of
fact. Well, the Board of Adjustment, the P&Z, falls under those same guidelines.
No, it doesn't. You don't have to be sworn in to speak.
Well, no, not there.
And they don't have to have findings of fact. So,
P&Z. I'm talking about the interaction between what the liaison can do within those two committees. There's certain defined duties. In other words, you got to be quiet.
Well,
you're just there as an observer.
More so for Board of Adjustment.
Exactly.
I think you have a legitimate role in the policy of P&Z. My personal opinion is that, but Board of Adjustment is a whole different ballgame. So that's just sort of what some of the things we need to talk about.
Yeah, BOA is covered by a whole different statute that has to require
another thing would be that if I go in and make a request of the clerk for some work to be done, and you go in and make a request of the clerk for some work to be done, which is our right to do that, she now has a request from both of us wanting it done by the end of the day, and she also has work that she feels is important to the town to get done. What
priority
do we do?
Yes, I understand.
And she's also requested everything to her in her request in writing.
But part of that,
it would be nice.
That's what you required, you know, before.
So part of that was part of that was because she was being accused of not fulfilling things that she was given.
That's right. So I have a clear understanding of exactly what you're asking for. And the majority of the time, you guys actually put your request. Barry almost always shoots me an email, I need this information. Tim does the same thing. Chuck does the same thing. Jim Dugan does the same thing. Dean, you're here a lot, so I don't know that I could get them all in writing, but it would be nice if we could always. It would be nice if I had the discretion to say, I can't necessarily get this for you by the end of the day and not feel like it's going to be a poor reflection on myself. But there are things, like with me being gone for a week, I had major things that I had to take care of, and it seemed like I had requests of me that had come in that were not really pressing.
One of the more important things that you and Tim and Casey and Jennifer go through these job descriptions, that particularly since the clerk works more closely with council and mayor, that y'all need to seriously prioritize what her duties are.
Well, we won't be able to do it. Obviously, we can't cover all the angles.
But I mean, she's got certain statutes that she has to go by, but other things, you know, delegating, if she had some of her time freed up, you know, that would be my suggestion, to make sure that there's no little trifling little things that she is using in her job, everyday job, that can't be delegated out to somebody else, so she can actually get what needs to be done quicker.
I would like to say something since we're on that, Keynote. We have some members of council going to finance staff asking us to do duties that belong to the clerk while she is out. We do not mind helping and getting things that she might need to complete a specific job and write that down and give it to her. But I don't think that the right person is being asked to do things. Like, Aaron's been asked to write letters, Mandy's been asked to write letters. I didn't know of anything of it, so I've gone to them and asked them, okay, where's your work? Well, they're doing letters for the street festival. And I think that something should be written or said, if you're supposed to go to Casey and ask for something to be done, then you should go to Casey and ask for that.
Well, Casey's not here.
And she's not here in council place to say, you need to go to Jennifer and ask her to delegate right. those jobs.
I mean, I don't think any council member, and this is not a reflection on anybody, but just as a discipline for ourselves, I don't think any council member should talk to anybody who isn't in supervisory capacity. I mean, just you wouldn't go to one of the guys on Sonny's trucks and say, you know, go fix this. You'd go to Sonny and say, we need to get this fixed. And I'm talking just generally.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing in town hall. Because and one of the things the staff has complained about in the meetings that Chuck and I have had is that two or three different people have been asked for the same thing. They all started working on it. So, you know, it just made it inefficient in town hall. And we just need to be mindful of that, all of us. You know, it's like, you know, just not call up anybody.
Because we're small enough, and in the past, everybody has helped everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, but like Jeff said, we need to have somebody who's ultimately responsible for the duties to support council. That's only one person. That's the town clerk. If the town clerk, because of workload or whatever, can't get it done, she needs to see what help that she can get to complete the subject.
And that was done.
Yeah.
Certain people went to Mandy and asked her to do something. I told her that was not her duty. However, help in any way she could, write it down and send it to the clerk and stick it in her box. And she would complete it once she returned to work.
And to me, that seems the proper thing for a supervisor to do if she can't get her daily.
Well, what's happening is so many hands are in the pot, and she can't complete it thoroughly because she don't know what's going on.
I don't know what.
10 more people are doing the same thing.
I got an email and I got letters in my box and I sent Mandy an email and I said, what is this? And it was a simple fact that when I came back after being gone and having to sit through jury duty, which was awful, and I kind of knew what I was stepping back into, so I kind of already prioritized for myself the items that needed to be addressed right away. However, when I got back, I was set to a whole different set of priorities and told those items must wait. And the simple fact of it is I have actually delegated Pat's employee, but I've actually delegated to Doug a lot of duties just because he can administratively help me. He can type up things, he can put together, you know, the committee book. I have been relying on him heavily, which has worked out great.
When you've done that, have you gone through Pat with it, or have you gone directly to Doug?
No, I haven't, but the simple fact of it is Doug, a lot of times, will be sitting up there with nothing to do.
But I still think that
kind of plays out there with everything else.
It does.
Because there's a lot of times you walk through here and people sitting around without a lot to do.
Right. Right. So, I mean, it's that's fine if that wants me to go through her. But it's been a daily occurrence since I've gotten back because, quite honestly, I actually made up a list of items that I had done for the street festival committee that have taken up. I mean, I was at home working on these items because I had so many items to be doing for this particular committee. And it's one of the things where I had other things that I really needed to be working on, but I was told these are priority. And
well,
so
when Nancy was up front, she did the committee. She did the street festival committee.
Right.
And mm-hmm. That may be something that when we have the job,
that's something I was strongly suggest that we
well,
have to be
if I may speak up once again, I have established, I think, a pretty good working relationship with these committees. It's just, in my opinion, the Streets Festival Committee, and this is something I had brought up, I think, to Chuck, was that perhaps we just need to sit down with this committee and find out, because it's just like with the community center. I sat down with Ashley Hecka and Jeannie Gordon, and I said, what are the issues that you guys have? Because they set up a meeting with me, and they said there's some gaps that we need filled. So they have actually set up a flow sheet of how things need to run, and it works smooth as pie through my office. There are no gaps. You ask any one of them how it works, and they will say, it works great. So I feel as though with this particular committee, because there are some, I don't know if there are her office, but in my office, it seems to be there's some confusion perhaps on the part of the committee. There's confusion on the, perhaps the part of our staff. Chuck can attest to that. He was given something by Debbie because there was confusion on her part. So I don't think it's necessarily an item. I think that there just needs to be clarification on both sides of that table so that nobody is confused. We know what we're supposed to be doing. They know what they're supposed to be doing. And it's settled. Once and for all, we don't have this recurring again next year.
Well,
whether it be the person at the
firm. I'm worried about what Pat said. If you can't, you know, if there's a problem when you perform your duties, then the first thing that needs to be delegated away from you would be taking care of these committees. Because we had no problems before, like she just reiterated too, when Nancy was up there, and I never had any feedback from any committee member that what they needed to get done didn't get done. So my first suggestion when y'all realign all this stuff is the committees will be to whoever we have in that front office up there, because a lot of times
The gas and the rentals was they would drop off the checks, or people would come in and drop off the checks, and they never got feedback as to who had dropped off the checks. They never got copies of the contracts back. They came up with a whole list. That's why they worked with
the budget. I said that they had everything that they requested.
This was told to me by them. So if that's the case, I was not told that. That was from
them. Well, I think that whole committee has changed somewhat since.
Well, a lot of committees have changed, but like I said,
nothing's not getting done. It's just my me prioritizing.
Right.
Like
to well, then, say,
I
reprioritize
it, but somebody else is the interaction of council with the staff.
Right. I think we got a little.
Well, that's what we're discussing.
Yeah. Well, now, Tracy did bring up that she thought that part of the problem is understanding.
My suggestion is that interaction with staff, if the committee work has become a problem for the clerk, which is something that we set her, you know, duties, and we move that back to that front office.
Sure. And that's certainly a possibility. The other thing is each of the committees has a commissioner liaison, and if you're having a problem with one of the committees, it's certainly in order for you to, you know, if the community center has an issue and you feel like it needs to be resolved, please involve me.
Yes, I think that's part of the liaison's. I think that's part of the liaison's duties is to interact between the staff and the town council and the committee. Not to tell the committee what to do, but just to be helpful.
We're going to let what's going on in here, like I said.
Yeah.
If it's a problem, you know, in our office work, you know, the way things are going on here, then that committee, and I don't know anybody that's sitting here that's not walked in this front office and seen a lot of downtime in the foyer in there. Now, Doug or whoever's in that position, when they're selling decals, that's a busy time of year. But, you know, a lot of times they're just sitting there twiddling their thumbs. But my suggestion would be all committee work be taken away from the clerk as soon as possible.
Duly noted.
And I want that on the agenda.
Well, it'll be part of the job description.
I want that on the agenda.
Yeah, and we'll have to decide who is going to take over this job.
That's in the front office.
Yeah,
the last one is the role of individual council members. I'm assuming again that's the staff and each other. As far as the role of each individual council, this is just me. One, we interact up here whenever the three or more of us are together. And for the most part, regardless of the positions that we take, it's a position of at least mutual understanding that some are going to vote yes and some are going to vote no, and a little bit of respect that regardless of the position that we take, that it's for the betterment of the town. Just we see it different at times, although the vast majority of our votes are unanimous. And that when we interact with staff, personally, I feel that there is not a rule that Chuck made for the staff to interact with the electorate the citizens out there that we shouldn't be held to the same standard interacting with staff.
I'm not sure that I saw the rules that
This is the customer service procedures and policies of Chuck.
You treat customers when they come in, you treat them with respect.
I understand that. It's just, I have a little trouble defining what a customer is or a citizen or a voter. You know, I would think that we would treat anybody that walked in that door as a...
No, I have, and that's as it should be. Regardless of whether that person is right or wrong, they're the customer that's supposed to at least be treated civilly and to the best of your ability. And if you're unable to do it, you either pass it on to a supervisor or give them a negative answer or, you know, whatever it is, depending on the situation.
In other words, council members should treat us just like they are any other person that can vote in the council or the beach. So, no unnecessary negative remarks by any council member is appropriate.
Necessary negative remarks are okay.
Not
well, you said no unnecessary. I just wanted to.
I can imagine a place for negative remarks, such as assessments at the end of the year.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean they have to be given in a raised voice or Anglo-Saxon terms. Or
as in, the town hall would no longer employ people with children.
Well, you think that's serious?
Such items as that. When it's continuous and every day certain remarks are made, it's going to get to the point where you get tired and you start to feel that it's serious.
Let me ask you this. Are they allowed to decide what remarks they take serious and which ones they
don't? I don't know.
Or should they? So you're saying that we don't have to take everything you say serious?
I didn't know anyone took anything I said.
Well,
when did that start?
We know it's not serious, but when it's continuous and he's in here every day, over and over and over and over and over saying it, there gets to a point where you need to stop. Because it's unnecessary. I'm not going to be talked to in a certain manner, and neither is any other town employee. We treat you with respect, and we expect you to treat us with respect.
That's a two-way street. So I'll hold you just as accountable as you're holding me.
Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah.
Does anybody else have anything to say?
I do.
I hope
not. It's just a little housekeeping item. But, you know, we're paying the staff to clean up every Monday here. And I really do not understand, since nobody that I know as a mother works in this building, why the trash that's accumulated in that kitchen can't be carried out at the end of every day. Because by Wednesday or Thursday, by Wednesday or Thursday it's piled up out of the trash cans.
Okay, we can put that in the job description.
There you go.
Is there some reason why the trash piles out of the trash can in the break room or wherever?
Because the mayor has coffee every Saturday and they throw their food out.
The mayor stops cleaning up after
I'll start putting them in the trash can beside the when the mayor comes in there on Saturday, those trash cans are overflowing. But if y'all bring food in here and dispose of those cans, I don't know why you can't throw it out at the end of the day. I don't eat in town hall. You've never seen me eat in here unless it was some function.
Is this a legitimate?
I think that's perfectly reasonable, and I'll definitely make sure I'm sort of checked on that.
Is that something that y'all live with?
Cody's lawyer's been off, so we'll take care of it.
There you go. Taking care of
it. Y'all seen it before too. I'm sitting there thinking.
But when you bring a citizen in here, and we come back here to get a cup of coffee, and the trash is literally rolling out on the floor, and you have desserts and things that have been in there for a week at a time, it's not right.
What do you mean, desserts and things like
that? Oh, like leftover, stuff.
Well, remember, that's our breaker, and it's not the citizens.
Well, you've got signs in there now that say we don't have problems and everything else, yeah.
There's cocoa puffs and Lucky Charms.
But when it outlives, it's useless. Throw it out.
But don't you think cleaning, keeping an area clean?
That's why there's one sign up that says please clean up because we have ants.
Are people doing it though? That's
they were.
Okay.
But we'll make sure that we...
Who is somebody that's willing to take ownership of that and you know, this doesn't have to be a job description thing. It can just be something. I mean,
I don't know where the coffins have to keep coming from.
Okay. Well, at the end of the day, you know,
I don't even know who bought a case of styrofoam cups that can't be recycled.
Jennifer, is one of the things you said earlier is having respect for the workplace, and part of respecting the workplace is keeping it clean, and we all need to pitch in. So.
Well, I will make a calendar personally, and everybody that needs the break room can clean, make sure it's clean every day.
That would be great.
And we'll make sure
it's cleaned. Once a week, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other items under number 5? Any other discussion? In the course of this, has anybody come up with other subjects that are fit in with this that they'd like to discuss? Yes?
I'd like to make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
Before we do that, I would just like to say that I know this seemed messy and untidy tonight, and we talked about a lot of things. I think it's helpful.
Yeah.
I mean, I think one of the things, this is a small town, and we're, the five of us up here are amateurs, and we're trying the best we can. And I think sitting down and talking and having a discussion like this, it's kind of like talking with your family. Sometimes it's unpleasant, sometimes it's uncomfortable, but I think this was really helpful, and I think the town could benefit from it, and I appreciate y'all being
here. I don't agree with what you're saying, but it does us a world of good to get out and air our, you know, don't let them sit in the bed. Everything out in the open once in a while.
Well, if I may say at the same time, with us getting stuff out in the open, I don't want it to come, well, they said this about me, so it's a retaliatory thing either.
No.
So I'm going to now be mad at them and make their life a little bit more difficult, because certainly I do feel a lot was accomplished, but at the same time,
well,
we got to be respectful of each other, and just because we don't agree with each other, we don't need to, if we didn't like something that was said, we can't be retaliatory.
Well, it's one of the most that would not ever happen.
The best thing about this is the fact that there hasn't been anybody here that has been afraid to speak up about items that they felt important. And we don't have a staff that rolls over.
I think it's probably a good thing. Lord knows, as a board, I don't think we're angels.
I've never aspired to being an angel, Barry. I'm bucking for sainthood.
You get to go back and get baptized again.
I'm sorry to say, did we?